Hey there, is today your first time here? Or maybe your first time in a while? If so, maybe you're wondering exactly who we are and what this church is all about. Well, we'd like you to know that we're a group of ordinary people who are on an amazing journey together, following Christ. Our guide is the Bible because it's the divinely inspired word of God and it will never take us in the wrong direction. Along the way, we hope you'll see that we are welcoming and spiritually passionate and that getting to know you is a big deal to us. We know that the road is rough sometimes, but we'll work really hard to bring you practical and relevant messages to equip and encourage you through life's ups and downs. We want you to know that we care about this community, and we believe that it's our job to make it a better place. So, no matter who you are or where you've been, we're glad you're here with us today, and we hope that you'll join us on our journey, following Christ and living out His plan for us. So, welcome to church.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White, here this week with our message of the week. And before we get started, we're still doing things a little differently. We're still tweaking and making things a little bit different. So, in the past few weeks, you've probably seen some crazy things going on. But anyway, we are getting closer to getting something down here with this new normal that we've got. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will then get into our message. If you would join me, please. Heavenly Father, we come today. We ask that you share your glory with us, share your presence with us, shine your glory on us, and just be with us each and every day, Lord, as we go through this coronavirus, this COVID-19, as we stay in place, we hunker down, whatever you want to call it. We're still live streaming and we're still social distancing over the internet. So maybe one day we can get back to a normal again. In that time though, just be with us, help us through this, keep us safe from us, and just be with each and every one of us. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start off with a music video by Matthew West called The Motions, and then we will get forward into our service. We'll be right back after this.
I'm going to sing a song called The Motions first, if that's all right. And The Motions, I don't think I'll ever sing this song again the same way since hearing a story that I heard a few weeks ago. This story is not about my life, but I think it's poignant towards the message of this song, and it involves this song. It's the story of Ryan McAfee, an 18-year-old from Oklahoma. This message was sent to my website. Ryan McAfee is a great kid, loved the Lord with all his heart. He was a youth leader at his church. He was in his car, and he heard the song The Motions on the radio, and he went home and wrote the lyrics on his Facebook page. He asked his friends to hold him accountable to the words of that song because he didn't want to go through the motions in his life. Here's an 18-year-old kid making that commitment, which I think is amazing. Little did he know that later that day he was going to tragically lose his life in a car accident in his hometown in Oklahoma. This message came to my website from a girl who attended Ryan's funeral a few weeks back. She said, "I didn't hear the motions on the radio for the first time. I heard the motions at a funeral service. They played my song, and I guess one by one, people, including the minister, got up and spoke about Ryan's life and how he lived his life refusing to go through the motions, and how even in his death, they believed that Ryan's example was going to impact people's lives to do the same." And this girl's message said that about 20 kids stood up even at his funeral service, walked forward, and accepted Christ right there. So I think about Ryan and his family every time I sing this song. I'm inspired by the way that he lived his life from what his friends and family have told me. And, with that, I pose the question to anybody who hears this song. You know, what if you didn't have tomorrow? Are you making the most of today? Life's too short to go through the motions.
On May 17, 2007, Matthew West underwent career-threatening vocal surgery. In the time that followed, he faced a season of silence and uncertainty. We all face trials. Matthew's story is proof that God is at work even in our weakest moments. And this is where change begins.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside. Emotions. No regrets, not this time. I'm gonna let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life. Cause I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't wanna spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions?
Okay, that was Matthew West with The Motions. And our scripture lesson today is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. That's Matthew 13, 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see, to hear what you did not hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Now I've entitled my sermon today, Going Through the Motions. And the reason for this title is that over the past few weeks, I've been less than motivated or inspired in my sermons. And because here we see God's people performing the rituals of religion without a heart for God. Now, they're still in church. They even come on Wednesday nights when there's services on Wednesday nights, and they're faithful to be in Sunday school. In fact, some might even teach class. They serve in various ministries. Some may even be deacons or church officers, but their heart is far from God. They're going through the motions. And as you know, as well as I do, like in the Old Testament days, these days it can be easy just to go through the motions. Now, our intro music today was Matthew West with The Motions. And it starts out like this. This might hurt. It's not safe. But I know that I've got to make a change. I don't care if I break. At least I'll be feeling something. Because just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. No regrets, not this time. I'm not going to let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something, because just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life. Because I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? Now, going through the motions, it means that you're doing something subconsciously, or you're in autopilot versus doing something intentionally and with meaning. Now, recently, I've went back and I've rewatched some of my sermon videos, and I can see myself falling into a trap here. Where most pastors seem to fall time and again into, and where I'm just not feeling it. I've noticed this, and I know many of you have probably seen this as well. I made a comment to my wife a couple weeks ago that I wasn't just inspired by anything, which was a little unusual because usually I get inspiration or something and I have to meditate, pray on it, see what God really wants me to talk about, but it just wasn't happening. And after watching some of my sermon videos, I realized that I was just going through the motions and I wasn't really feeling the Spirit moving inside of me. Now, it's easy to live life just going through the motions. We've all experienced moments when we drive to the grocery store and we pick up the kids from school and we come to the end of the day and we wonder, well, how did I get here? It takes intentional effort to be present in our everyday routines. And if we're not careful, our relationship with Jesus can become just that, a predictable routine. We have to fight against tuning out familiar songs or passively listening to well-known sermon topics, and it's essential to take a step back and remember the why behind the what we are doing. The gospel is simply this: Jesus died for our sins, he was buried in a tomb, he came back to life 3 days later, and this is incredible news. If our affection for Jesus isn't based on the reality of these events, well, following Jesus can become a lifestyle choice or sometimes just a passing fancy. We all do it in some form or fashion, and we all call it just going through the motions. It happens in marriages. It might begin with little to no quality communication, selfish neglect, or not having time alone due to the busyness of life, the hustle, the bustle of living in the fast lane. There are no volcanic eruptions of anger causing the distancing, nor any other cause of deep fractures in a relationship, just staleness of a dull routine or just going through the motions. It happens at work to many of us. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. We do the same thing, the same time, different day, and again, just going through the motions. It happens in church. We get up on Sunday morning after a long, exhausted week, and we're tired and we're tempted just to call in sick, and we make our way to church and we go through the motions of singing some songs and listening to, but not really hearing the word being preached, and we leave unchanged and untouched and simply executed a dull religious routine, and we didn't encounter the living Lord Jesus. It was another Sunday of just going through the motions. It happens in our private devotions. We set time aside to read the Bible, and then we're flooded with a million good distractions, and soon we're reading the word, but we are not reading the word, as our minds have already left the room. We're simply going through the motions. While sitting at work earlier this week, yeah, many of you know I'm a bivocational minister, I had a voice inside my head telling me that I had to stop going through the motions. I had to get back on track again. Now, this isn't the first time a voice in my head has talked to me. I usually ignore these voices or simply block them out. However, this voice was too loud to ignore, so we have our sermon today. I'm not the only one that has this issue, because many of us, not just pastors, but Christians in general, also suffer by just going through the motions and not really feeling it. So let me ask you this: are you going through the motions of Christianity today? Sometimes we start doing things out of habit and we don't even realize we're doing it. It's like we're sleepwalking and we need to be woken up. And sometimes we'll just go through the motions, and then when going through the fire, we get depressed and we feel like we're sinking because our walk with Christ has no substance. So are you sleepwalking? Do you need to be woken up? We can and we will overcome these issues and get back on our feet again. You know, a lot of people get religious for the holidays. Some people begin going through the motions as early as Thanksgiving. But then almost everyone peaks at Christmas. Church services are attended, and hymns are sung, and formal prayers are mouthed, but the religious tokenism is usually over by New Year's Eve, about the same time that we put up our nativity scenes until we get them out for next year. Going through the motions is not something new, and it's not something that only happens today. The ancient kingdom of Judah was involved in this practice of going through the motions too. In fact, the problem of going through the motions became one of the main themes of the Old Testament prophets. We can see from the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 1 that God hated the outward religious forms and ceremonies when the heart attitude of the people remained unchanged. Festivals and feasts in that day, like Thanksgiving and Christmas in our day, were not all pleasing to God because most of the people were going through religious motions. Since there was no true worship behind the ritual, all the activity of the religious holidays was simply disgusting to God, and we see that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. Even the multiplied players, along with the pious display of hands lifted towards heaven, meant nothing to God because it was all just a cover-up for unholy attitudes and evil actions. It's no wonder that God said that he would hide his eyes from this kind of piety and turn a deaf ear to this kind of prayer. Again in Isaiah 1:15. Has this word of the Lord something to say to us today concerning our Christian holiday celebrations? Isaiah prophesied in a day of religious apostasy, much like our own day. Now, long gone are the days when the people of Israel faithfully embraced the covenant that God made with their forefathers. Instead, there was widespread idolatry and immorality throughout the land. The pagan ritual of child sacrifice was not just condoned, but it was actually practiced by some of the people. Even Ahaz, the king, sacrificed his son to a pagan god in 2 Kings. How greatly the people had revolted against God and had turned away from him to do evil. This is why the Lord had to discipline them and withdraw his blessings from their land. The immorality in Israel at that time was so bad that Isaiah refers to the nation as Sodom and Gomorrah, the two wicked cities that God had completely wiped out years before because of immoral practices. And yet most of the people were still going through the motions of so-called worship to the Lord and sacrifices and offerings and pilgrimages to the temple and burning of incense and attending sacred services and celebrating the religious holidays with great displays of devotion. Now, is not this description of national conditions in Isaiah's day similar to what we're facing in our nation today? We still have plenty of churches and religious activity. We still use coins engraved with "In God We Trust." We still pledge that we have one nation under God. We still take oaths of truthfulness on a hand, on our Bible, or with the help of God. And we still have our religious declarations and proclamations, such as the Year of the Bible and National Day of Prayer. And we still have our religious holiday celebrations, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. But to many Americans, all this activity is just religious tokenism. Where is the faith in God and adherence to the standards of the Bible that once characterized this nation? Where are the thanksgivings with real thanks directed in genuine faith to the living God? Where are the Christmases where true emphasis is not on parties and tinsel, but on the miracle of the incarnation? Our nation has turned away from God and the biblical standards. Anti-Christian, not post-Christian, but anti-Christian is the adjective which more and more describes the true state of affairs in America. The outward religious show is just so much hypocrisy and going through the motions. How plainly verses 21 to 23 in Isaiah chapter 1 summarize the conditions of our nation today. Like a harlot, we've given up our moral standards. Many of our helpless poor continue to suffer because of the political graft and social injustice. And when we think of the horrors of legalized abortion, we must ask ourselves if we are any better than those who practice child sacrifice in Isaiah's day. Surely our hands are also covered with blood. So what should we do? Well, we must follow the divine directions given in chapter 1 of Isaiah, verses 16 to 20. As a nation, we must clean up our act. We must not only bring to justice more of those who break the law, but we must bring more justice to those who are truly indigent and needy. Those who are being crushed under a system of justice that has abandoned God. This does not mean that we mean more benefits for the lazy or the less social injustice by the greedy. Obviously, this is all more easily said than done, and in fact, this kind of change is impossible apart from the secret of verse 19. The secret is that we must be willing and obedient. If we as a nation would be willing to turn back to God and obey the biblical standards, we would find the strength to do what appears impossible. And we would find the blessing of God upon this land. God is not unreasonable. He pleads with us in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1 to use our common sense and return to Him. He can forgive our past failures. Even though this nation has become more and more like a modern Sodom and Gomorrah, our national sins appear as glaring, indelible stains on a white cloth. Now, God will remove these blemishes if we are willing to change. Just as individual believers have come to know the cleansing truth of verse 18, so nations can experience the forgiveness and blessing of God if they turn to the Lord. The offer of verse 18 is just as good for us today as it was in the ancient kingdom of Judah. But our religious convictions must be more than just an increased effort at going through the motions. God sees the inward motives, not just the outward motions and mask. There must be a genuine repentance and obedience before God. As growing Christians, we can pray that our nation would have a change of heart and turn back to God and the biblical standards. Now, perhaps we should ask ourselves at this point whether we as individual Christians are prepared for a revival. A national revival brings a reawakening to God's people. So do we honestly desire God to change us as individuals? This could be disruptive to our easy way of life and our selfish lifestyles. Certain of our apathetic attitudes, they would have to go. Priorities might have to be rearranged. Our individual value systems would be subject to God's reorganization. As we are growing Christians, are we really ready for a spiritual revival? Another way to focus this crucial question for each one of us would be as follows. If God were to start a national revival through me, what area of my life would He begin to work on first? As we read the rest of Isaiah chapter 1, we're encouraged by the promise that the Lord gave to Israel. Although He would have more to discipline them, He would also restore them. Our gracious Lord is still in the restoring business. His discipline is always more remedial than it is punitive. His promise of restoration for the people of ancient Judah can certainly be applied to the people of America today, a nation that once acknowledged the God of the Bible. Now listen to His gracious promise as given in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Throughout much of the Old Testament, God's people, the nation of Israel, had a very shallow, distant walk with the Lord. Even though they had been given the most unique privilege of having God's written work available, the Lord told the prophet Amos in Amos 2:4, "They have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments." Now, this did not mean that they completely ignored scriptures. In some cases, they simply neglected the word. Often, they only went through the motions of having to read it to them without internalizing the truths of God and allowing it to change their daily lives. In other cases, after time in a distant, meaningless walk with the Lord, they completely abandoned the sacred scriptures to worship false gods made by the hands of men. Now, Israel still had priests, but when God's true prophets came with a message too close to home, they responded with such words as, "Prophesy not again anymore," as we see in Amos 7:13. Now, resistance, even anger and violence, was a frequent response. Yet, in many cases, they still worshiped the Lord, but only in a half-hearted way that the Lord would simply not accept. Therefore, God's message to them was, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me many burnt offerings, I will not accept them. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, I will not hear the melody of thy vials." That's Amos 5:21-23. Even worship through the Lord can be meaningless or worthless to the Lord. This is so when worship is offered with a cold heart, again, only going through the motions, without seeking to be continually transformed into the person that God wants His child to become. Now, why would the Lord not accept their worship? Well, it boils down to the explanation recorded in both Isaiah and Matthew. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We see it in Matthew 15:8 and Isaiah 29:13. Now, simply going through the motions of worshiping the Lord is not enough. He desires that we come to Him in sincerity, with biblical truth being paramount, allowing His word to transform our lives and desiring a daily walk that knows Him in a real, close, and meaningful way. You will know when you're just going through the motions, because either you'll realize this or you may have someone point it out to you. If you're just going through the motions, does this mean you can't change? Well, no, it doesn't. You can change your direction by changing your attitude and by letting God change you. Now, in my case, I've been going through the motions for several weeks now. I let life get in the way of my walk with the Lord. I had to hear a voice in my head to give me a wake-up call and realize I've been sleepwalking for a few weeks now, and it was time to wake up and smell the coffee. Now, like many people, I got to have coffee to wake up every morning. This isn't the first time that I've been here. Sometimes even pastors will begin to burn out and start going on autopilot. Sometimes when the burnout gets too bad, they just leave the ministry and they don't look back. Again, in my case, everything going on in my personal life, my work, the Indiana Guard Reserve, the Christian Motorcycle Association, the mounting bills, and of course the ministry, it starts piling up and the light at the end of the tunnel starts to disappear. When life gets in the way, or whatever your sleepwalking issue is, which is causing you to lose step, you need to take time to be with the Lord in prayer and meditation. Let Him work on how to wake you up. I got my wake-up call earlier this week because that voice inside my head was most likely God's voice, and He was setting off the alarm telling me time to get up, wake up, and get busy again. It's perfectly fine to have daily routines because humans are creatures of habit. There's nothing wrong with having routines. In fact, they're part of a disciplined life. Christians, too, have daily routines to keep life in order. But Christians are called to something else, not be routine in the spiritual things of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it is fine to be a Christian with a routine, but it's not fine to have a routine Christian life. There's nothing routine, dull, or just going through the motions when it comes to following Christ. The Christian life is to be one of purpose, direction, excitement, zeal, and a faithfulness towards obeying God's word that is far from routine. In fact, I'd like to go as far as to say that a wholehearted commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ through aggressive obedience to his commands guarantees a non-routine Christian life. It'll actually produce what Jesus came to give. That's an abundant life. Our Lord said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly," in John 10:10. There are a lot of things to be said about being a disciple of Christ, but at least three things cannot be said: dull, boring, or routine. So to avoid a Christian life of just going through the motions, what are things that we can do? Let me offer three mind renewals here that keep in our thinking, which will help us avoid routine Christian living. They center on His Word, prayer, and His church. First, to avoid just going through the motions, when reading the Bible, stop and think what you're about to do. Read God's Word, and with each word read, He's speaking to you as if you're the only person on the planet. Keep this perspective of being in awe of having God's Word in our reading, studying, and meditating, and it won't be routine. Next, to avoid just going through the motions, when setting a time aside for prayer or attending a church prayer meeting, keep in mind this is the way God meets with His people. Prayer is His prescribed means of communion for revival and to develop intimacy between Himself and His people. Let prayer be viewed and practiced as a communication of love between yourself and God, and it won't be routine. Next, to avoid just going through the motions when coming to church on the Lord's Day, remember, we're coming to a family reunion where God has promised to meet with His family. God primarily reveals Himself in the corporate setting to His people, not in our private settings. Also, remember, the Lord's Day worship is to be a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, and heaven is far from routine. Keep these perspectives about church, and there'll be no just going through the motions on Sundays anymore. Have routines and friends, but don't be routine, especially in the things of the Lord. He has provided everything in His Word, His church, and by His Spirit to ensure that that doesn't happen. And remember, in these crazy days of COVID-19 and social distancing and staying at home and hunkering down and live streaming, it's just as important to pay attention to your computers, your TVs, or your mobile devices, just like you are sitting in a church pew. Now, on May 24th, 1738, something odd happened to John Wesley. But to understand what happened, you got to first know a little bit about him. John Wesley was the 15th of 19 children born to his mother, Susanna. To her 9 children who survived infancy, easy for me to say, Susanna passed down her deep devotion to religion. Now, each child had an individual audience with Susanna every week, in which she would question them and instruct them in the ways of Christian spirituality. Speaking later about his mother, John would say that she was the greatest theology teacher that he had ever had. The Wesleys were a very devout family, and it showed through in every aspect of their lives. Young John learned the importance of living the way his parents did, or so he thought. After finishing school, he became a fellow at Oxford and was eventually ordained to the priesthood of the Church of England. His outward piety and studious nature won him a fellowship, which came with free lodging and an ever-growing salary. Now, being a pious man, however, he continued to live on the same amount of money year after year, donating the remainder to the church. He also joined a society called the Holy Club, whose members helped each other live devout Christian lives. In due time, John felt the call to do missionary work in the most heathen of lands, America. So he sailed to Georgia, where he preached the same piety and disciplined life that he himself had lived. But the people weren't very interested. He muddled through for a few years with no real success until a woman he had taken a fancy to married another man. Wesley convinced himself that Sophia's marriage was evidence that she had lost her zeal for the faith and refused to serve her communion. When her family sued him, he fled back to England, downcast and discouraged, and his outward piety had done nothing to change anybody's life. So back in England, on May 24, 1738, something strange happened. After a life of pious Christianity, John Wesley finally found Jesus. As someone read aloud from the book of Martin Luther's, Wesley writes in his journal that he found his heart strangely warmed. Something changed within him that day. His outward piety and religious zeal were joined by something new, a reformed heart. With this new development came a renewed dedication to his Christianity. Wesley was still devout, but now he knew why. He was still following his mother's teaching, but now he understood his mother's reasons. His life didn't just change for him that day, in that moment. It also changed the lives for thousands of others. Wesley dedicated the rest of his life to teaching this new idea, this joining of mental piety and outward devotion to a conversion of the heart. He called it entire sanctification, and it caught on like wildfire, and before he knew it, he had so many people clamoring to hear his teachings that he had to enlist others just to help spread the word. Over the next 53 years, Wesley saw his change of heart repeated in the lives of so many that they eventually became a new church with a new name. They were called the Methodist. All because he finally understood the very thing that God told Samuel, and that humans look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Do you ever feel like you're just going through the motions in some part of your life? Maybe it's your faith, or your work, or your family life. Like you know it's important for some reason, but you find yourself doing things, well, mainly out of a sense of duty. I'm supposed to do this, so that's why I do it. And over time, that sense of duty is joined by other senses like resignation, dread, despair, frustration. If that's you today, you need to know you're not alone. You need to know that it's time to give up. Stop keeping up appearances. Stop going through the motions out of a sense of obligation or of duty. Instead, take some time to get back to the heart of the matter. To remember why you started in the first place. To sit and ponder the value of that part of your life. And if it is indeed valuable, to find that your heart too is strangely warmed. And your actions are no longer governed by obligation, but they're governed by love. Friends, don't settle for just going through the motions of worship. Come to the Lord with a genuine desire to know Him intimately and be comforted by the image of His Son and to do His will. Then, only then, will your worship of the Lord be truly pleasing to the One who gave His life for you. Now, during this upcoming holiday season, we can truly be thankful for the individual leaders in our land who still acknowledge God and follow biblical standards. We can be thankful for every vestige of genuine faith that is still evident in this country. Routines are not bad, but we have to be careful not to replace our relationship with Jesus through routine. To break routines, we have to ask Jesus to stir our affections for Him daily. Jesus wants a growing and personal relationship with each and every one of His children. It's through that relationship that we begin to live out the calling He has for us. So let us pray that God would begin a great movement towards social justice and righteousness in the hearts of the people in this nation. What a miracle it would be if we could just see our religious holiday celebrations reflecting true godliness and worship, and not just the travesty of going through the motions. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your words not only touched me, but I'm sure they touched plenty of other people too, because we do just simply go through the motions. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll help us to regain our step again and our foothold, so that we can get back with our walk with you, to get back in step with you, and to allow us to continue to be the people that you want us to be. We just ask that you be with us, and each and every day, keep us, Lord, bless us. We just ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching, and I will see you all next week.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide. Thank you.